fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here for another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day and be with family and friends. Today, I'm excited to invite back to the program Peter Burak. Peter is the director of ID 916, which is an outreach to Catholic millennials, to millennials in general. I'm going to have Pete here. Hopefully, he can be with us all week because there's a tremendous amount of really exciting stuff that's happening in his life and the life of many young people that he's connected with and working with. And I just wanted to bring him on the program to encourage you, because a lot of times there's a fair amount of bad news out there about what's going on with millennials and their relationship to the Lord, to the church. And I don't think it's all bad news. I think there's some really great stuff going on, and Pete's a part of some of that great stuff that's going on. So welcome, Pete.
All right, good to be back. Thank you.
Nice to have you back again.
Absolutely.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners, because we may have people tuned in this morning who have no idea what ID 916 is. And it's an unusual name.
Like, yeah, it is.
Gee, what does that mean?
You know? Yeah.
So,
no, ID 916 is an outreach of Renewal Ministries, and we're trying to help, like you said, young adults, people in their 20s and 30s, married, single, with or without kids, become intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. And what that looks like for us is to meet Jesus, to fall in love with him, and to be in a community where that is supported and where you can grow. But then you can also get to the point where you share them with others. And I think the simplest way to put what we're doing is we want to help young adults grow and go. There's two universal calls, right? The universal call to holiness, the great commandment, love God, love your neighbor. So that's what we're trying to do, is help them grow in love of the Lord, love of each other, love of the faith, and understanding of what it means to be a Catholic Christian and a disciple. But then to get to the point where they actually respond to the second call, which is to go make disciples, that universal call to mission, the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations. And so that's can be a big jump and a challenging one, especially for our generation, to bridge that gap between personal piety and my faith is kind of my own, to being able to speak knowingly of Jesus and what he's done in my life, and to be empowered in the Spirit in order to do that, and to be part of a community, like Pope Francis called, a community of missionary disciples. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting quote when he said, we no longer say missionary or disciple, but missionary disciples, because it is one and the same. But he wanted to highlight the missionary dynamism of being a disciple. And so what we're trying to do with ID 916 is reach this generation, one that is all over the place in many ways. Yeah. And real quick, I should say, the ID stands for intentional disciple. Our identity is to be an intentional disciple. And then 916 comes from 1 Corinthians 9:16, where St. Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, this gives me no grounds for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach it.
So you've tied two things together there, that our fundamental identity is to become disciples of Jesus, and to be a disciple of Jesus necessarily means carrying on his mission.
Absolutely.
Which means proclaiming the gospel.
Right.
Right? In some way. So
in the different areas and the different ways that the Lord has equipped you to do it. And I think that's one of the beautiful things of being part of the body of Christ, is that it doesn't necessarily mean you're on the street corner preaching, but it's looking at your life as a mission. With my kids, with my spouse, in my workplace, with my cousins, whoever it is that the Lord puts in front of me, I want to be intentional about helping them grow in a relationship with him as well.
That's good. You make me think about the section in Evangelii Gaudium where Pope Francis, you know, tries to drill down to help us understand how deeply mission is meant to be a part of our identity. He said, I am a mission in this world. He said, that's why I've been born. That's why I have been made, is to extend the life of the kingdom of God, the person of Christ, God's precious offer of his beloved son to the world. I'm literally, when I'm baptized, I am sent on mission and anointed for mission. It's something that we don't just do on the side. It's really in our bones. It's in our soul, mind, heart, and soul, and strength. And so that's partly what I see you trying to do with ID 916, is to slowly kind of introduce that into people, young people, so they can lay hold of it for themselves.
Unfortunately, it's often a foreign concept in some ways to see their life as a mission, that I've been launched into this world as a mission for others in some way, right? It's not as hard to talk about vocation and maybe career and different things. People understand that. But then in terms of how to build the church, but even more importantly than that, but help people meet the person of Christ and be converted and go deep and reject sin and all that, to what your role in that can be very confusing for young adults.
Right.
What do you mean? What do I do? I thought there's professionals for that. You know, it just isn't necessarily part of the DNA of the church.
Right.
And so one of the things we do, or really the primary thing we do, is come alongside parishes to train them, to equip them and empower them to create this community within the context of the parish. We're not trying to create something outside the parish, kind of a parachurch organization, but to go right into the heart of a single parish or a group of parishes and say, Father, this is what you want to do. You want to evangelize and disciple your young adults, and this is really the beginning of adult faith formation for your community. We want to be the piece to help strategize and train your leaders on the ground in order to reach this generation. So we've got chapters all over the country right now that are working with us, and the goal is to just keep finding these places that have a deep hunger for this generation, but just need more resources, more training, more vision even language to articulate what they're trying to do.
What's the structure, the anatomy of the whole thing? What does that look like concretely then on a parish?
It's really a three-pronged approach. There's multiple things, but it's really three things. The first is helping develop a leadership team within the parish of young adults, because Father could think it's a good idea. The bishop could think it's a good idea. I always think it's a good idea. But if there's not a team of young adults who are willing to put some skin in the game, time, talent, and treasure to build something, it just isn't going to work. And so we dive right in, both in person and through the beauty of digital media and different things that we have at our fingertips, to walk with the team and train them and equip them.
There's a shift there. You're saying very clearly that it's not something the parish is putting on, that Father is putting on for young people and trying to get their attention and trying to create something every month. He's actually trying to pull together a small group of leaders, which there's an initial investment on that you help with.
Absolutely.
To help build them, give them a vision, do a little bit of training and all that. And then they take responsibility under, you know, the pastoral care of the priest or whoever is assigned to oversee it, but they take the ball and run with it. And its future depends upon how much buy-in they have and how much investment they want to make.
Absolutely. It's the sustainable model thing too, because if it's just built around the pastor, what happens when the pastor is moved?
Yeah.
Or if it's just built around the associate pastor, same idea, or one dynamic couple or something like that. So we really want to build a team. I think the ideal team is between 10 and 15 young adults who are some single, some married, all the different communities within the parish that they can be the ambassadors to. Because the primary role of the leadership team, there's a whole bunch of like practical things that need to be done. But the primary role is to be the evangelists, if you will, the ones who can go out and win people to what is happening. This is really good. I want you to come. Well, what is this ID 487 thing?
Yeah.
You know, to be able to say, no, this is what it is, and this is what it means, and this is why it would be good for your life. That is the primary point of the training. And part of the training, too, is from day one, who are the leaders that we can be harvesting to replace the existing leaders, so that when couple X has a baby and is out of the box for 6 months, or Jimmy gets a job in Colorado and has to move, the whole thing doesn't fall apart because you're constantly raising up leaders. And I think this is just a strategy for a healthy, dynamic parish as well, to be able to infiltrate all the different things that the parish is doing with young adults. You have to have an intentional seeking of them and calling them to a specific job and a specific vision as to how they plug into it.
Yeah, it's a great doorway, if it's done right. It's a great doorway for young adults to be more fully engaged in the parish and relationally connected. So that's their doorway, that's the relational connection. But as they get deeper into it, then they're in a place where Father gets to know them, other leaders get to know them, and they can start plugging them into places according to their gift and their passion in the broader service of the church. Youth ministry, serving the poor, jail ministry, whatever it is, it gives them an opportunity to be a part of a community where those ideas and thoughts are beginning to surface.
Right.
And you can identify them and kind of bring them into what you're trying to accomplish in a broader way in the mission of the parish.
And I really think that if done properly and blessed by the Spirit and just kind of walking in the doors the Lord opens, that building an 9916 chapter or something like it can be an agent for culture change within a whole parish community. Because there's something very dynamic about young adults who love the Lord, who love each other, and who are eager to share their gifts with the community that is blessing them. And so one of the things I say to pastors is, Father, what would you do with 40 on fire young adults? Like, think about that, plan for that, because hopefully we're going to get to at least there. We're going to go beyond that. But like, what would you do with them? And think strategically, because it is a matter of leadership. The pastor still has to have a vision for how to plug them in.
Yeah.
We can build the community, but if there still isn't a broader vision for how to integrate them, like you said, in youth ministry and service to the poor and all the other things that the parish wants to do, well, then then you have all this fruit that's not being harvested. So right from the beginning, the pastor should be thinking about, okay, when I get to the point where I've got 40 young adults who are growing every month together through the disciples' nights and are meeting in discipleship groups and growing as disciples, what should I call them to next? What are the areas in the parish that we can start to parish council, you know, all the different things that they can be integrated into to just elevate the whole parish?
One of the things I think that is a strength for millennials is the desire to want to kind of have impact or to give back in some way. And so there can be idealistic in that way. Young people often are. That's a good thing. But to kind of lay hold of that and to give it some direction in a parish context, and that's a place where hopefully they can learn to see themselves as Catholics on mission. It's just where that identity piece that you started with at the beginning starts to get internalized a little bit more. And hopefully it's part of their life all the way through adulthood till they become grandparents.
And I think it's a two-way street. As a young adult myself, I have to recognize that I have to temper some of my enthusiasm. I have to temper some of my ideas. I have to come under the authority of established leaders and to see and to value the experience, right?
Yeah.
That is important. We have to learn how to do that. We have to learn how to jump through the hoops that are there, even if they don't necessarily make sense or they're hard to understand for us. Yet at the same time, I would encourage the older leaders, the pastors, to not just immediately shush or kind of push to the side the ideas and the enthusiasm of the young, especially if a community is growing up. There's going to be way more ideas than we can possibly handle. But that's where trying to determine, is it nuance here, a good idea or a God idea kind of thing? Like, is the Lord in this? And then how do we go about it? Because young adults are usually not short of good ideas. Oh, that seems like really good. Why don't we do that, right?
Yeah.
But to be able to meet in the middle somewhere where the young adults are providing their gifts and their talents and the what the Lord is moving through them, yet recognizing there's an established way that a parish needs to run, and some of it can be adjusted and some of it can't. And finding that middle ground, I think, is a delicate dance, but something important to
do
work
find,
toward.
Do you find the commitment piece is difficult? Because I think, like a pastor would say, look, I love your ideas, love you to be a part of it, but I need to know, are you with me or not?
You're right.
And so it's not a matter of, I like it now, I don't like it, I like it, I don't like it, which some of what I've read and things I've seen is that's kind of part of the characteristics of the millennial generation.
Yeah, I'll just say
I'm there if I like it.
Yeah, you know? No, we're allergic to commitment. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, we're scared of it for a whole host of reasons. I think there's a lot of deep psychological wounding from a divorce culture and from different things that have been ingrained in us. Every time we put our trust in a leader, they seem to let us down, or an institution. So there's a lot of deep ingrained wounding in this generation towards committing to anything. Yet at the same time, I think it's really a work of the evil one, because discipleship requires commitment. We cannot grow as a disciple unless we commit to the person who's discipling us, first and foremost Jesus, but then also the people that he works through. And I think the thing that we found that cuts through that commitment piece is a radical conversion.
Yeah.
It's something that is total and radical.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing for us to be able to talk about tomorrow. Can you come back tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the commitment piece is not just an issue for millennials. It's a human struggle. But there is no way to grow, to really grow as a disciple. I mean, it's commitment and disciple, those two words go together. You can't be a disciple without a radical buy-in to the Lord and to his mission and learning what that means concretely step by step. And Pope John Paul II described, he said, that discipleship in part is really characterized by a faith which from the outset is total and radical in its intention, really. So getting to that place is what we can talk about tomorrow. But thanks a lot, Pete, for all that you're doing. Thanks a lot for sharing with us today. Friends, I hope you can tune in again tomorrow. Bring your friends. Pete will be back. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.